this is the second film, and it's part of a campaign, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a second film. The first film was in 2016, and that raised awareness. We took that film and some trailers of that film, we took it down to Parliament House, and Ken Wyatt was the Minister of Indigenous Affairs then, so he watched it, and Linda Burney was in the audience, Mick Dodson, Senator Malandiri was there. So there was a good show of Aboriginal ministers there on the, in the 2016 launch and the subsequent parliamentary meeting. We took a family from Maningrida down, so it was really good to have somebody there to tell the lived experience, to tell the stories of what it means to them, for, you know, their children to have rheumatic heart disease. And the Brown family you'll see in the 2000 and the 22 film, the film we've just launched, is that they lost a child. She was only, I think she was 3 or 4, but it follows their that family through, and it follows 4 other families that we had in the 2016. So it's like a sequel and it's a follow-on through. But the thing that's different with this film, and which I think makes a big difference, is that it had a Aboriginal co-director, Lorraine White. She's from, well, she's working in the Melbourne Indigenous Transition School, and myself as co-producer, Aboriginal woman from West Australia. So it had that cultural lens on it, and it really, really was powerful in terms of storytelling and telling the story.
Yeah, yeah. So in the past, rheumatic fever, and this is, I mean, you call it rheumatic heart disease, but rheumatic fever was a really big deal in all communities, but now it's only for Indigenous communities.
Yeah, in the 50s and 60s, there were whole wards of those that, and they used to call it rheumatic fever, so there was whole wards of people with rheumatic fever. And I've got a friend who, her and her sister got it, and they remember having cages over their legs because their legs were so painful. So what acute rheumatic fever gives you is pain, really painful joints. We've had some of our Champions for Change, which is a group that I, you know, have developed in rheumatic heart disease. And some of them, they were so sore that they had to get on skateboards to get around the house. That's how sore their joints were. But this was, yeah, around about the 50s and 60s when living conditions weren't as good as they are now in mainstream Australia. Kevin Rudd is one of those that were affected and has had his valve surgery. But now it's only probably close to 90% only Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders. So the majority of people are those that are living remotely. Although, you know, having said that, there are Aboriginal people that live regionally and in Sydney, not just in the remote areas, that have rheumatic heart disease.
And as your film points out, this is a disease of poverty, right?
Yes, yes. So what it is, it's a disease of poverty, of overcrowding, of environmental factors, like there's no proper what we call health hardware. So, you know, your refrigerator mightn't work properly, your taps, your plumbing aren't working in your house. So the environment, the housing and the environment that you live in, the acute rheumatic fever, which is just a streptococcus, so it's a strep bug, which lives in the back of the throat predominantly, but can be skin sore. And these are the environments where that bug likes to live. And for some reason, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people have an abnormal autoimmune response. So they'll get this strep A bug, and what will happen is their body then starts to fight off the bug, but in doing so, it fights off good tissues. So you get your sore joints, you can get a thing called chorea, where you get jerky movements. But the worst thing is that it affects the valves of the heart. And once these are affected, they don't repair themselves. So if you have repeated attacks of acute rheumatic fever, worsening valve, often, you know, we'll have 10-year-olds, 8-year-olds, 6-year-olds having to go to have valve surgery.
And as your film is, it's a call to arms, isn't it, really? Because you're making it
Yes.
quite clear that actually it's a society's responsibility to ensure that people are not living in conditions that are undermining their health in a situation that's life-threatening, but is absolutely possible. You know, it's avoidable.
That's right, exactly right. So it is a call to arms. We want action. We want every Australian to say this is not acceptable. These are Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who, lived on the land first. They're living in these conditions now. And we don't want to live in houses that aren't working. We don't want to continually go to funerals. And we don't want our kids to be sick. So it's not a lifestyle choice. A lot of these people living remotely, that's their country and that's where ancestors are, which is very important for Aboriginal people, that they're connected to country and connected to where their ancestors are. So it's not a lifestyle choice. I think what happens is that they get neglected. So if you have a look at 250 years of colonisation, this is what happened. I call it the pointy end of colonisation because 250 plus years of neglect, of discrimination, policies that have not allowed Aboriginal people to have education. My grandmum was 70 years old before she went to school to learn just how to sign her name. She was denied education. And all these policies, past policies of discrimination, and we know that there's been, social engineering genocide. They've all worked against Aboriginal people to live the life that they should do. I mean, it's a basic human right to be able to get good health care and to be able to live the best life you can. And it's a national shame. So yes, we are calling all Australians to back behind us, to go to your local member and ask them what their rheumatic heart disease strategy is, to get onto our website, www.takeheartrhd.com. Have a look at there's a trailer, there's a 30-minute film, there's the 80-minute movie-length film, and you can host a screening. So if you're in a school or if you're in an organisation where you think, you want to share this with your colleagues, please host a screening. We've got over 80 screenings happening across Australia now, so there's been a lot of interest.
Yeah, well, it's a very strong story t told from the point of view of First Nations people themselves. So, I mean, people are, it's very strong, this film.
Yeah, and what it does too, unlike the Four Corners showed the three women in Doomadgee, but really Yvette, which was a horrible story, but it didn't show the communities that have got leadership that are taking now control. They've been empowered. They've got self-determination. They're sick of their children being sick, so they're doing stuff. So in Maningrida, for example, the community, the traditional owners, the elders, the school teaching, the Lura school, language school, the health clinic, the nurses, a nurse that goes to the school, they all combined to do a 6 week, and Rheumatic Heart Disease Australia helped develop a 6 week course in language. So up in Maningrida, which has got the highest rates of acute rheumatic fever in the world, they're learning about the strep and the germs that causes, your heart to be sick in language and what they can do to prevent. So one child went to the school nurse and said, "Look, I brought my friend because my friend's got a school sore. We don't want them to get that sick heart." So empowering community through a whole of community mobilisation, empowerment, elevating Aboriginal voices, pretty much like the Close the Gap theme this year was transforming power, voices for generational change. So really this is what we need. We need a groundswell of sort of grassroots movement, get everyone in Australia saying this is not acceptable. Then communities help them mobilise because they've got the leadership, they've got the solution. And then other Aboriginal leadership lobbying with governments and you know, those that will listen really to create change.
Yeah, and get people's rights. And I noticed the emblem on your shirt in the film, Aboriginal Health in Aboriginal Hands.
Yes, yes, and that's exactly right. I mean, we, you know, there's a lot of goodwill, there's a lot of people with the solutions, but they do need support too, so they need to rely on non-Aboriginal people to help support them. So, you know, it's across agencies, it's housing, it's education, all get behind your Aboriginal communities and help them out, I think, with this. You know, they've got the solutions, but they need help to make sure all their solutions, all their leadership comes to fruition.
How did you get to make the film? Where did the money come from? How did that happen?
Doe Foundation and the Aspen Foundation, Mugu, there are a couple of like silver sponsors, a couple of gold sponsors. So these are people that are philanthropic organisations, or such as Aspen Foundation, so Aspen Medical, a couple of other people that have got together saying that they want to help put money towards, because it's such a great cause. So the money hasn't come from government, it hasn't come from major things, come from a handful of really, really committed people that have been committed since 2016. The Snow Foundation have been, and the Aspen Foundation are the key people. They've been absolutely wonderful in providing some of the funding, and they're not actors, so we're not paid actors. These are real people in the community. What we do is give back to the community. We say to the community, what do you want now? You know, thank you because your knowledge has been shared. What do you want? And most of the community say, well, they want this to be seen across the world. They want the world to see this, and that's all they're asking for. And, you know, yeah, so it's good.
Just to finish off, do you want to repeat the where people can find out about the hosting or screening?
So please get behind us and promote and host a screen, www.takeheartrhd.com.
Good on you. Thanks very much for talking to me.
Yep, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.